Hello?
It is a truth universally acknowledged that a single man in possession of a good fortune must be in want of a wife. However little known the feelings or views of such a man may be on his first entering a neighbourhood, this truth is so well fixed in the minds of the surrounding families that he is considered the rightful property of someone, or other of their daughters.
Sorry, this is a McDonald's drive-thru.
Love? Dating? Relationships?
What do you do?
Love Talks Back. Alright, hello and welcome to another episode of Love Talks Back. I'm MC.
I'm NA.
And tonight we're going to be talking a bit about women's expectations of men. That's right. We're going to be talking to a lot of different people. We've got a few interviews on the way. And also you get to know about what myself and NA feel about women's expectations of men. So don't miss out. Here it is. Show number three.
So, MC, what are your expectations
well,
of men?
My expectations, I like to have high expectations. I don't know, you might say maybe they're a bit unrealistic or whatever, but I base this on sort of experience, but also, I've only ever been in one relationship and that didn't last for very long. But, you know, what I've always known and what I've always done in the past is I've written down all the things, all the qualities, all the values that I have liked in different guys that I've had crushes on or whatever, you know, attracted to. I've written them down just so that I could have a sense of, you know, what it is that I like, you know, what it is that makes me attracted to someone. And knowing that has helped me to develop sort of my standards and has helped me to have some expectations of guys. For me, I don't really think too specifically. I can't really pick anything off the top of my head. But, you know, generally, someone who's Catholic, that would be one of my expectations, is someone who's Catholic, someone who's living a Catholic life, has a pretty live faith, someone who I can share my faith with. It's going to be a bit difficult if we have a family or whatever and we can't, you know, express that faith together in our family context. Yeah, that's just one of those expectations that I have.
I have to apologize. I keep on singing the song from Ferris Bueller's Day Off. It's so good, though. We'll play it for you afterwards. It's a good song. But I think, getting back to the topic at hand, my expectation... I think all women need to have expectations, all people.
Mm.
Men need to have expectations as well. So I do have expectations. I don't know how you measure how high or how low they are. So I will not say whether they're high expectations or low expectations. I think there are some really good, really important things like honesty and...
Yeah, good qualities.
Quality.
Yeah.
I know before the show you were mentioning loyalty. Loyalty is a big one for me.
Yep.
I think that's in past experiences. That's well. Just been a very important quality that I think... I think that because I'm a very loyal person as well, I'd expect someone else to be as loyal back to me.
Yep.
Trust, all those sort of things.
Mm.
But something that I've actually been thinking about a lot is someone who has a steady job. Now, I know that sounds really silly, especially for my age, I guess. But I see dating and courtship as that I'm dating and going out with someone because I see a future with them, see marriage, that's a possibility.
Yep, the hope of that happening.
Yeah, and I wouldn't date someone who wouldn't be able to support a family, you know, raise a family.
Mm-hmm.
And a steady job is just one of those things that...
Yeah, I think I
needed.
Found when I was dating as well, you know, a steady job, but also, like... some sort of transport. It's very difficult if you're trying to do it all through public transport. You have situations where sometimes you can't have a car or whatever, but, you know, if you can work around those, that's great. But it does make it a lot easier if you can, you know, get to certain
places. To and from places,
yeah.
Of course. Another thing that I was thinking about when we were talking about this topic before was just the fact that women have these expectations of men, and they're so unrealistic sometimes. You know, we base them off of movies and
mm-hmm.
books. You know, Mr. Darcy's, I guess, the bane of every man's existence. But, you know, when women wait for these perfect men to come and sweep them off their feet, it's so, I guess, it's so unrealistic. I mean, it's the only word that we can really use.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, when we talk about relationships, as men and women, we're meant to grow in them. We're meant to grow in our relationships. We're meant to learn from one another, you know, go through difficult situations and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And if you had Mr. Perfect, how is he ever going to grow? And from that, if he's not going to grow with you, how are you going to grow from that relationship?
Mm.
You know, it's kind of stuck in the stalemate position and it's... No Mr. Darcy just comes along. We make our own Mr. Darcy's in the sense that from our experiences and everything, we learn and we better ourselves. And that's how guys, you know, can better themselves is within relationships.
Yeah, I really like your point. It's kind of like that whole generation of people, you know, you find that people are developing relationships online, you know, you're going online, people are Facebook messaging. I do that personally quite often. But there is a limit to that. And, you know, you can't build a solid relationship. You can't change or grow as a person whilst having that sort of relationship. And so when, you know, when you're growing and wanting to become a better person and you know you want to do that in a relationship with another person, you've got to do that face to face, and you've got to do that knowing that you're not perfect, knowing that you have flaws, knowing that, you know, that humility in yourself. With that humility, you can, you know, help each other to grow and to become better people.
Yeah, and I think another point about this topic that we need to address is the fact that when women have such high expectations from our guys...
Ooh, NA's just dying. Don't die on me. Are you okay? Do you want some water?
I should be fine. Sorry, what was I saying? Oh, yeah, so when women have these expectations from our guys... You know, these guys have to live up to this expectation. You know, it's so high. It's like, how are they ever going to achieve this?
That's right.
And it's so difficult. And I think guys sometimes find themselves in this no-win situation. It's like, I'm not good enough. Mm. I don't have these qualities. So you know what? I'm not even going to bother. So it's a negative effect on our guys as well.
Yep. When we think about that passive guy that we were talking about in making the first move, you know, those kind of passive guys, the guys who find it difficult to make the first move, That comes because, like you were saying, sometimes we have high expectations and our expectations are way too high. And when they're way too high, guys, like you're saying, they don't want to make that first move. They lose that courage. They lose that boldness to make the first move and to get a relationship started.
Yeah, and I think another thing that needs to be addressed is the fact that women should have expectations. We're not saying
that's right.
Don't have any.
Yeah, I have.
Because,
high standards.
Women need to have expectations. They need to know what they want, what they're looking for in a guy.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, women need to know themselves as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we each day we live with our masks. You know, I'm the funny one, I'm this one, I'm that, whatever. But it's about stripping away those masks. So not only do we need to know ourselves, but we also need to know what we need.
Mm.
And I think that's important because that way that outlines what type of guy that we're looking for.
Yeah.
What type of qualities we're really looking for.
Yeah. And I think that was a good point that you were making, that, you know, you're thinking about the future. You're not just thinking about something temporary or something, you know, that you want now. It's about, if you're going to enter into a relationship, you want someone who will have a stability and will have qualities that can continue into the future, into what you would hope to be marriage. Because if they can't do that, then, you know, they could possibly grow in that area or whatever, but there is a limit. You know, there is a certain expectation that, you know, that's going to happen quickly because, you know, you don't want it to just drag on forever and ever and ever. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think also that women have all these expectations of men, but we forget that men have expectations of us as well. And I think it's unfair for us to say, oh, you know, I want this and that and, you know, tall, dark and handsome and, you know, good car, great.
Keeps the tall seat down.
You know, lives on the beachside and all these ridiculous things. Mm. And then expect guys to have zero expectations and
of
us.
Yep.
It's so silly for us to think like that. It's women.
Lucky we're women. You're listening to Love Talks Back.
Call us on 8005-1530
or send an email to askus@lovetalksback.com.
E-M-I-L-I-E. Emily's List.
So, how do you know if your expectations of men are too high? If you've never sat down to think about it, here's your chance to kind of reflect a little bit about your expectations. One, you'll know they're too high if the men in your life are intimidated by you, scared by you, frightened of you, and they're always walking on eggshells. That's not a very good sign for developing some good foundations. Two, if you never have any positive feedback to give to guys, so you're always cynical and negative, it might repel those guys, and that might be a good sign that maybe your expectations just need to be a little bit adjusted. Number three, if you're constantly waiting for Mr. Right to also be Mr. Perfect and Mr. Amazing all the time, then maybe you just need to sit back and kind of reassess yourself. Four, if the men in your life are telling you, it's really that simple. If they're telling you that you've got way too high expectations, perhaps you do. Straight up, everybody's got to chill out. We've got to expect goodness and purity and holiness, sacrificial love, all these awesome things, but we also have to be realistic about what we want. There are great guys out there, no doubt about that, and we just need to open our eyes and see that there is goodness beyond imperfection. Alright, it's time for the part of the show where we talk to people out there like yourselves who are living out these topics that we're talking about on the show. And of course, we are talking about women's expectations of men. Are they too high? Are we sometimes, ladies, are we sometimes just asking for too much? We talked to a woman named Sarah Edwards. She recently got engaged this year, at the beginning of this year, and she told us what she thought about women's expectations of men and also what her expectations of her fiancé was.
So in your opinion, do you think women have unrealistic expectations of men? I mean, women in general as well, not just specifically Catholic women.
Yes, sometimes I think they do. It's hard to make a generalization on something like that, but I think that innately women try and change men, and that's where the problem is. I don't think it lies in expectations. That whole notion of a woman going into a relationship to try and fix it, or going and getting married with the view that I will be able to change the person that I'm with, is, I think, very flawed. To answer your question specifically in terms of expectations, I think they're important to have, but I think they can also be dangerous at times as well, because you don't allow the other person to be who they are, especially with little expectations like it's a deal breaker if he doesn't put the toilet seat down, if he doesn't pick his shoes up. Like, I think that those things are medial, and I think that we often hinge a lot of focus on those silly little things.
Yeah.
Do you have this opinion because that's something that you've developed or something that you've kind of grown through, like, you know, maybe in your past dating life, you maybe had a different idea, or has it been something that you've thought of, you know, for most of your life?
It's certainly come with maturity and experience. I had a couple of, you know, brief, you know, dating, like there were a couple of boys that I briefly dated. And I realized that I was going in with the view to change them, and that, you know, if every little detail wasn't suffice, then they weren't worthy of me, which was really, really wrong, I think. And as a result, I would just shut people out, you know. And, yeah, so that it certainly is something that has developed.
Looking back, I mean, you were talking about when you were younger and everything. Did you have a picture of your dream guy? Like, was there this image of, okay, he's going to be like Mr. Darcy? And if so, what was your dream guy like?
When I was young, my criteria was very interesting, as I remember now. You know, I wasn't deeply involved in my faith there at a time, so for me he just needed to be Christian, and you know, so there wasn't anything specific there. I wanted someone who is fit and athletic and that would love to go out and dance with me. Was the life of the party, and I mean, and had a particular occupation, which is so flawed. You know, I look at the person I'm with now, and I think, wow, look at how that has evolved.
Yeah. Well, on that topic, you know, you're engaged now. Congratulations. It's very cool. So, like, your expectations, when you say that, you know, you're with a person now and that it's definitely changed, like, what kind of expectations did you have with your current fiancé?
I didn't sit down and write a list. Expectations. I think it's important to have the big ones. You know, I think it's important to be treated respectfully. I think that it's important to expect to be loved and treated, you know, beautifully, like a princess of Christ. You know, that's they're called to be masculine and love our femininity and protect that. So I think that there are definitely those expectations, but you know, in terms of personal traits, I don't think that we can expect someone to be completely perfect. And ultimately, we have to love the people around us as Christ loves them. Now, obviously, for some people who are in a relationship that isn't working and or they're with someone and they've got a niggling feeling and they think this isn't meant to be, then that's obviously you're going to follow that conviction or you know, pray on it some more and make a decision that way, but to walk away from it because you know what, like let me think of something. He doesn't like to go to the beach or something like that as an expectation, I think is wrong, because it, I don't know, it's not who the person is. And again, it's vital to love the person as Christ loves them and let Christ do the work, be the instrument at times, but let Christ do all the work, love them. You know, Saint Rita is a beautiful example of that. She loved her husband into conversion, and you often hear that. So I think that if you hold on to those few philosophies, then yeah, I think that that's important. I'm just trying to think of some practical things in terms of expectations. I wanted someone that I could go to Mass with and pray with. I wanted someone that, you know, had similar worldviews. I think that that's important, to be equally yoked, and the Bible tells us that. I wanted someone that would challenge me and stimulate me and keep me busy. I want someone that is willing to work through things, because I think that in life and in marriage there is going to be all of those occasions where you have to work through things, whether or not it be a possible miscarriage or financial troubles or all of these things that life throws at us. I had an expectation that I would be with someone who was willing to work through that and with me together as a team, rather than individually or one more than the other.
That's great. So it sounds like you found the perfect man for you.
Yeah, I have. I really have.
Cradio.org.au, where love talks back.
It does.
Love Tip 101.
Mr. Darcy does not exist. I repeat, does not exist. He is a fictional character.
So, guys, you are listening to Love Talks Back with MC and NA. Thank you so much for listening. If you're listening live on our online stream, just a little holla to you right now. Unless you're also listening on iTunes or if you're listening on our website, lovetalksback.com, thank you so much for your support. We are talking about women's expectations of men. And we've heard from a lot of women. We've heard from myself. We've heard from NA. And we've heard from Sarah Edwards. Now, what about the men? Look, it's very important. We do need to hear from some men. We're going to talk to Dave Chapman now about what it is that makes these expectations difficult for men, whether or not it's difficult to live up to these expectations. And we're also going to talk about the perception that there is a perfect man, also known to us ladies as Mr. Darcy.
Knowing that women have certain expectations, how does that make...
Can we define, like, women? Are we talking, like, Catholic women? Are we talking...
Any woman
variety,
interested in a guy.
No specific demographic.
At all.
Okay, sorry.
That's all right.
Yeah.
No, that's okay. Ask questions. But, yeah, so how, as a guy, like, how does it make you feel in the sense that, you know, there are certain expectations?
I guess the expectation is that the guy should initiate it. I think that's still definitely kind of around. And I guess that's also from the guy's perspective, we expect to initiate things as well. And I think there's probably the kind of societal pressure. That's how things have been done for a long time. And that's probably why the expectation is there, or at least the realization of. But I think there's probably the order of things as well. The masculine role is still to kind of to lead the family, even if society has tried to water that down. And I still think that kind of rings true. It's not like a hard and fast rule. It's not like a girl couldn't ask a guy out. And like as a guy, you do kind of hope the girl does, because it means that you don't have to.
That pressure of having to ask someone out.
Yeah, exactly. It takes that off you, and it's like, yeah, that's awesome. And then you're kind of like, well, I should have asked her out. And I guess there's only so long that the girl can do the asking out before things kind of get awkward, I guess.
Yeah. When it comes to things like girls who are picky about different personalities or even hair colours, eye colours, that sort of thing, as a guy, what is your kind of perception of that sort of expectation?
I think guys are probably worse at that, especially when you're talking the kind of the superficial aesthetics. If you're not attracted to somebody, you're not attracted to somebody. And there's only so far that you can kind of change that, I guess. And especially looks and things like that. There's obviously can be put too much emphasis on being physically attracted to somebody, and maybe not giving somebody a go because of the way they look. But I think guys mold themselves around that. I think the metrosexual phase, I think, proved that beautifully. I've got a few pink shirts in my cupboard, and I only probably wear them partly because I enjoy the colour pink.
Very good.
Okay, so next question is, what do you think of Mr. Darcy? What's your perception of Mr. Darcy?
I actually really don't know much about Mr. Darcy.
Nice.
The stereotype is that all girls want a guy that's like Mr. Darcy. I think what did he do? Like, ask a girl out, she said no, and he kept trying or something? Is that it?
It's more the perception, you know, of this guy who's sort of perfect, but, like, also...
He's the ideal man.
Ideal man.
But why is he the ideal man?
one would
like
say...
Like, I actually haven't...
So one would say because he's attractive, he's wealthy, he's got all the gentleman qualities, he's likeable. You know, she says no to him, and so he writes her this letter of why he's done certain things in his life. And then over time, she realizes that her first perception of him was wrong, and then she falls in love with him. So he's just kind of like... He never changed his personality for her. He was just always this perfect guy for Elizabeth Bennet. So I guess when reading...
Your question is, what do you think about the perfect guy?
Yeah, what do you think about the perfect guy?
Oh, well, he sounds good to me.
Ladies,
the question is, what was wrong with the girl in the start, like, to start with? If you just said, like, he was the perfect guy, you did mention kind of being rich and stuff like that, and being good-looking. But, like, he's a perfect bloke. He kind of hasn't changed anything. And she couldn't see that. So isn't it her problem?
I think it was a situation where she overheard him saying that she wasn't pretty enough for him. But then he realised over time that he really did actually... They had more in common. But by that stage, she had already overheard him say ill of her, and so she was a little bit proud-hearted, I think...
Oh, well, yeah, I don't know if she was being proud. Like, if a bloke's, like, going to diss a girl kind of like that, like, shouldn't give him the chance. Like, a girl who goes, a girl is not pretty enough for me, and I'll ask her out. Like, if you're not attracted to her, then that's kind of, then that's fine.
No, that's
great. He maybe
great.
Wasn't the perfect guy, but he's pretty representative, I guess.
Folks, that's it for us here at Love Talks Back. Thank you so much for listening to this week's show. If you want to continue listening, all you have to do, very simple, visit cradio.org.au. Listen Thursday nights from 7 to however long our show goes for. Really depends on what we're talking about and as to how much stuff we can fit in. But you can also obviously visit the website lovetalksback.com. It's going to have updates of news, all the stuff that we do on the show, including updates about NA. Where in the world is Natalie Ambrose? Who knows, really? And all of our Twitter feeds, and also check us out on Facebook, Love Talks Back. It's so simple. Our name, we picked the easiest name that we thought you could remember, Love Talks Back. And we are so thankful for Sarah and Dave for jumping on the show. Thanks so much for being part of our interviews. Guys, if you want to tell us anything about the show, feedback, if you have a question for us, if you also want to be on the show, all you have to do is email us. You email ask us, that's ASKUS, at lovetalksback.com. Ask us at lovetalksback.com. You can also jump onto the Skype. If you've got Skype, add Cradio and leave a message for us. We'd love to hear from you. We do have a doctor on the show, Dr. Phil. If you check out our website, you can find out more about Dr. Phil. Dr. Phil is available for your questions. All we need are questions for her. So, guys, jump online. Continue to listen to the show. Thank you so much for all those who are supporting the show. And we will see y'all again next time. Adios, amigos.
The bottom five.
So, starting off on number five, the carbon tax. Now, I know it's been hotly debated, but seriously, like, what next are they going to tax me on? My methane gas that I release into the world every now and then?
You do that quite often.
Yep. Well, I'm a normal human being that has bodily functions that need to come and go as they please.
This
and
is true.
And you know what? Anyway, seriously, I'll go on a rant about this. I think that, you know, looking out for the environment is important.
Mm-hmm.
But taxing us... Really? Anyway.
Just for a bit of smell.
For me to breathe. That's what it is. For me to breathe. Okay. Number four. Being a student and not having enough money. Well, I can tell you right now, and this is the honest truth, in my bank account is $29.35.
Good on you.
And
that's rich.
When your friends want to go out for dinner, let's go nightclubbing, let's do this, I can't do it, people. So... Number three on my bottom five this week is Jonathan Groff. Now, Jonathan Groff is an actor. He's on the TV show Glee right now. He plays the character of Jesse St. James. Okay, and I am in love with this man. He is not only beautiful externally, he like internally, I think,
you're glowing,
is wonderful. Dang. And he's got this beautiful voice. He's just amazing.
Stalker,
and I
stalker.
Love him so much. He's on my bottom five as number three because I'm so in love with this guy and he is so unavailable to me and for that matter any other woman on this planet.
Ba, ba, ba.
Very sad. I'm so sad about this. I'm torn up all inside. Number two. Now this is something that actually happened to me, so guys take note. My number two on my bottom five this week. Guys pushing me out of the way on the train so that they can get a seat.
That is horrible.
It is horrible because I tell you what, chivalry is not back. It's dead. Dead to us all. I could not believe this guy. I'm waiting there patiently for the train to pull up. The doors open and I get this elbow out of the way. This man strutting in front of me, sitting down, taking the last seat. Are you kidding me?
And was he like, did he look like the kind of guy who could stay standing?
He could stand. He wasn't carrying anything too heavy. I'm there with three bags going, oh crap, now I'm going to have to stand. And I couldn't believe this guy. He pushed me out of the way. Like, I can understand if he got there first, whatever. I mean, can't expect too much from society these days. And he pushed me out of the way. I didn't let him forget about it the whole time on the train. I was like, to my friend, I can't believe someone pushed me out of the way. I mean, what's wrong with people these days? And I just kept on going and going and going on and on. But another thing about talking about guys and trains, I hate it when I'm sitting down, I'm relaxing on the train, reading a book, and there's a whole bunch of people. It's a very packed train. I'm lucky enough to have gotten a seat. Pregnant lady or an old woman walks in and no one moves. I hate it the fact that I'm there and I'm the one that has to be the man and stand up.
And what a great man you are.
I'm a lovely man. I make a wonderful man. No. In all honesty, it's just so, it's so sad. There's so many guys.
It is very sad, actually.
It's sad it's sad that society just doesn't even think that that's an option. It's like, whatever. Like, I mean, I'm pretty sure these guys don't know that they're not doing something that they should be doing.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's my bottom two. Now, my number one. Now, I know in the past that I've been known to be a little bit of a cradle snatcher. It's happened before. I won't deny it. However, Nick Jonas and dating Delta Goodrum, this has definitely got to be my bottom five number one this week.
Wasn't it like a month after Brian?
But not just that. Nick Jonas is like 17, 18.
Little baby.
Delta Goodrum is what, 25, 26? It blows my mind. Like what? Yeah. Are you kidding me?
It's just so predictable.
Anyway, talking about the Jonases, this is on a side note. Joe Jonas, apparently, these days is not wearing his chastity ring. Remember all the Jonas Brothers used to wear chastity ring on their wedding finger? Joe Jonas has taken his chastity ring off since dating Ashley Green, star of Twilight. So.
And I don't think he can say that he liked it, so he put a ring on it.
Nah.
Doesn't work in that way.
Anyway, so ladies and gentlemen, that's your bottom five. I'm NA. Catch you later.
Attention.
Gossip Girl here, your one and only source into the sacred lives of Sydney's elite. Looks like love lost has been hard for a certain young Catholic. Word on the street is that after the breakup, she's written a song about it all. And when I say all, I mean all. And has posted the song on YouTube. Who am I? Now that's a secret I'll never tell. You know you love me. Gossip Girl. XOXO. I'm MC.
I'm NA.
And that's about it.